Welcome to the Lentil Intervention Podcast, talking all things movement, whole food nutrition and environmental wellness with your hosts, Ben and Emma.
Hello everybody, my name is Ben Adelberg.
And I'm Emma Strutt.
And welcome to episode 19 for the year. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and buy us a coffee. We're getting a little thirsty. Now, following on from last episode with Professor Julia Rutledge, we bring you another recording from the Evidence-Based Eating New Zealand series of health-focused public lectures highlighting the power of plant-based whole foods to restore health to all New Zealanders. So the Christchurch theme was our GP frontline. And our next speaker, Emma, is
Dr. Wayne Hurlow. So he's a GP from South Nelson. And in this lecture, he discusses the phenomenal health improvements seen through the CHIP program and makes it clear that obesity, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes can all be treated successfully. And as a reminder, if you like what you hear, check out the EBE website. They do have some upcoming events you might want to have a look at.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I hope you guys are having a good time and that you're learning something new. You know, I think that's the great thing about life is there's so much to learn and every opportunity is an opportunity to learn. So I've been asked today just to talk about my experience with the CHIP program. So the CHIP program, I'll talk to you a little bit about it, but what it stands for is Complete Health Improvement Program. And this is a lifestyle intervention program that has been around since the 80s. And it started by a gentleman called Dr. Hans Dehl in America. And more than 50,000 people since 2000 have been through this program. It's really well researched. There's over 42 research articles in really well-known journals like the BMJ and Lancet and things like that, talking about the evidence behind it. But what I'd like to talk to you today is just about the experience that I've had running a CHIP program. So I'll talk to you a little bit about in a moment about how I got involved with this. And then I want to share with you the story of Nikki's story. We'll talk a little about why lifestyle change is difficult and just why CHIP is a program that can in a powerful way impact people's lives and their health. We'll very briefly look at the evidence. There will be a link to the website. If anyone wants to dive in deeper and look at the evidence, I'd encourage you to pop in there. And then I'll just show you briefly some of the results that we've had in Nelson. So as Grant mentioned, is one of my values, one of my core values is wellness. And this is something that I've had for a long time. Now, I've been thinking about what are the things that have really influenced that. And probably one of the influences is probably my father. My father, he's a GP as well. And I remember from a young age, he was often involved in the community running things like stop smoking clinics. This was back in South Africa. And after we moved to New Zealand in 96, he was involved with the CHIP program. And that's where I first learned about it. But because wellness is an important value of mine, when I think about wellness, I don't just think of what I eat, but I think of whole person wellness. And that's really important to me. So that's thinking of the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the social, all of those things together. And when we have those things in balance, you know, the great thing is that our experience of life is so much better. And so that is what I'm passionate about. And so as you can see, there's a few things, you know, I've got my family there, the things that I enjoy, some outdoor activities. And that's my dad up there on the right who's obviously had an influence on my life. I'm also part of a community called the Adventist community, and that's a part of, I guess that's the part of my spiritual wellness. And for those of you who've dived into a bit of plant-based eating and health, you'll probably have come across the well-known Adventist health studies. And so part of being in that community is that we value wellness in the sense that life is enjoyed so much more when we are well. And we try to incorporate that in every part of our lives, not for any benefit beyond this life, but simply that life is here to be fully enjoyed. And so that's what that is about. Now, on the CHIP program, there's a question that I often start off asking participants, and that is, who is in charge of your health? Now, it might seem like a really obvious answer, but actually, if you think about it, it's quite complex. So many times in my rooms, in my practice, I have patients come up to me and they say, "Doctor, you have to fix me." And all of a sudden, all of that pressure is then loaded on me. And what they don't understand is that it's complex. And it's complex because the way that we fund healthcare in New Zealand is upside down. The way that we run general practice is upside down. The model that we use is a treatment-based model. It's not a preventative model. The 15 minutes that someone comes to see me is they've come to see me because they're unwell. They haven't come to see me to stay well. And so unfortunately, that question becomes quite difficult. And that's what I love what Dr. Zhu says here. We ask widely. Dr. Zhu says, "Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not." Now, maybe it's up to the government, but the challenge is we know that that's a really complex thing as well. So at the end of the day, the person who is in charge of your health is you, and that's what we try to motivate people with. I just want to introduce Nikki to you. So Nikki, she's a young mum, and she's had a lifelong struggle with obesity, being overweight. You know, she's tried everything. She's tried every diet. She's done everything she possibly can. And what's it left her with? Just the feeling of guilt and failure. Nothing is working. And so with that failure, with that guilt, is she's now got really low self-esteem. She doesn't have much confidence in herself, and she feels alone in her struggle. She was encouraged by one of the local champions in our area who promote healthy living or healthy eating, Hannah O'Malley. She's got a website called The Better Base. And she works with Nikki, and she encouraged Nikki to come along to CHIP. And I remember as we were going through the program, the program is run over 18 sessions, and not only do we talk about and educate around the causes of illness and things like that, but we also deal with some of the barriers that are there for people. And I remember one of the breakthroughs for Nikki was at one point, she's like, "I'm worth it." All of a sudden for her, the fact that she was worth the change that could happen, that she was worth it, that was a big thing for her. One of the sessions we look at is one called forgiveness. And this was a huge, powerful one for her. Being able to forgive herself was a massive step forward for her and a huge barrier that then launched her into being able to make positive changes that she's been able to sustain. So when it comes to making lifestyle change, there are so many things that can get in the way. A literature review looking at barriers and enablers in type 2 diabetics, looking at 23 different reviews and articles, looking through over 2,000 participants, what they discovered is that there were certain barriers to people being able to make lifestyle changes. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them will be familiar with you. One is our food habits. You know, lack of self-efficacy, lack of motivation, lack of support. Depending where we grew up, our knowledge of what it is, of what constitutes healthy eating, the culture in which we live, in particular with the food, and we live in a busy world, let's be honest. We live in a really busy world. And so often the choices we make are because we're busy. And so we go with the path of least resistance and we make the easiest choices. Unfortunately, the easiest choices aren't always the healthiest. In the observations of these studies, what they found is that people with type 2 diabetics, patients with type 2 diabetics had more barriers than they had enablers or facilitators. And this is one of the challenges that we face, is that people who do face trouble and problems with their health are likely to experience more barriers than enablers. I just want to do a bit of an experiment with you today. And what I want you to do is I want you to cross your hands. Cross your fingers. So like this, Grant. Cross your fingers like that. There we go. Yeah, it's hard to see with the mic in my hand. Yep, cross your fingers like that. Great. Now I want you to look at your thumb. If you have your left thumb on top, raise your hand. If you have your left thumb. Okay, if you have your right thumb on top, raise your hand. This works every time. So what you realize, it's 50-50. 50-50. Now, who of you are right-handed? Okay, most of you. So this is not based on whether or not you're left-handed or right-handed. What I want you to do now is switch it the other way. That feels weird, doesn't it? It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. You know, at some point when you were a child, the first time that you did that, you've done it ever since. And it feels right because in your brain has developed this pathway that is the way to do it. And I think this is kind of what makes change really difficult is that change can feel wrong. It can feel all these things. It just doesn't feel right. And so what I encourage people to think about is rather than having that thought that this feels uncomfortable, just have the thought that it feels different. And that's okay. Difference is okay. And I guarantee if you do that long enough, that will begin to feel normal. So that's one of the things that I encourage people with. So CHIP stands for the Complete Health Improvement Program. And the basis of CHIP comes to this point that chronic diseases are influenced by lifestyle factors. Now, if chronic diseases are influenced by lifestyle factors, they should respond. They should be responsive to lifestyle intervention. And so this is the basis in which CHIP runs. Now, CHIP is an intensive, it's a community-based lifestyle program, and it focuses on a few things. One of the focuses, it promotes a whole food, plant-based type way of eating. The other thing is daily moderate intensity exercise. And we encourage people to do this in the usual environments. I'll unpack a little bit more about how we do that, but that is just a very broad way of thinking about it. So CHIP is also coordinated by a not-for-profit organization called the Lifestyle Medicine Institute. Now, the Lifestyle Medicine Institute, for full disclosure, is owned by Sanitarium. And Sanitarium is a not-for-profit food organization, and a lot of their finances go into support community things. And one of the things that it supports is the Lifestyle Medicine Institute, which is an evidence-based group looking at healthy eating and what the evidence is around that and promoting that in community. As I said, to date, over 50,000 people since 2000 have been through the CHIP program. And there's a lot of evidence showing the proven benefits in managing heart disease, managing type 2 diabetes, and managing depression. Now, as you heard Julia talking earlier, now before, this used to be called the Coronary Health Improvement Program. But when the research started coming out, what they discovered are other things started happening. Moods were improving, depression and anxiety were improving as well, and people's enjoyment overall was improving, arthritis was improving, and so therefore they changed the name from Coronary Health Improvement Program to Complete Health Improvement Program. So what does the program contain? So there's a big education component of this, and what we educate people on is the causes, getting down to the root causes of chronic disease. Now, this is something that we're not even really good at learning about in medical school. You know, we taught it how to treat chronic diseases. We taught all of those sorts of things, but we don't give much thought or much education to medical students of the causes of chronic diseases. We also talk about the benefits of exercise and nutrition. And there's this word ad libitum, which means in the program, we don't tell people what to do. We give them the information and we encourage them to take it as far as they can. We encourage them and we tell them that if you take it as far as you can, we're here to support you. And if there's a time to do it, now might be that time. But we give them the freedom to choose that. So the type of foods that I encourage is whole grains, legumes, fresh fruits and vegetables. We encourage them to drink water. And then we observe them and we do a whole lot of tests before and we do tests a month later. And it's really amazing to see the results and we'll have a look at those in a moment. But apart from that alone, we also address some of those psychological factors. We look at things like stress management. We look at things like forgiveness and self-worth. And it's amazing. It's these last three that are often such a big turning point for people. Yes, they've heard, they get the nutrition, they get the exercise, but the barrier to making that change often lies in these things. And so it's always quite exciting when we get down to that point there. The CHIP program kind of look, the behavior change strategy that the CHIP program runs on is the theory of planned behavior. And what the theory says is that your intentions are what drive your behavior. And the things that drive your intentions are your attitudes. So do I like it? Your social norms, what do others think of it? And also your self-efficacy. So do I have the right skills? Do I have the ability? Am I skilled enough to make these changes? And I think this is where CHIP becomes really powerful, because this is where we provide people, we give them tasting, we allow them to taste and see how delicious the food is. Because a lot of people have this idea that you just eat carrots and broccoli, but it's so much more than that. And what I love about it as well is that when we think about plants, when you open up the world of the variety of plants you can eat, and actually there's about 3,000 to 6,000 different plants that you can eat. And if you think about it, when a lot of people think that we're cutting down on options, when you dive into it, you're actually opening up a whole new world. And so that's the exciting thing, to see them engage with that. The other thing is we create a social norm around them. So we're all journeying together. And so they're coming along the journey with people who are also engaging in it. And so they can try together. And so that becomes a bit of a social norm. And then we help to skill them. We teach them how to make that change. You know, we provide them with recipes. We problem solve as we go along. So this is done over 18 sessions. So it's usually a 10-week program over 18 sessions. There's the education component, which is about 45 minutes, followed by there's usually cooking demos and food tastings, which are always a treat. But the magic happens in the groups. So we divide people into small groups, and that's where we engage with the information. That's where we have those discussions. But at the end of every session, there's a behavioral challenge that we give them. For example, one such behavior challenge is the pantry purge. So going into your pantry and getting rid of all those stuff you don't want to eat, but they're there. And so it's encouraging people, get in there, have a go and see what it's like. And then we kind of have a yarn and a talk about it when they come back. Looking at the evidence around CHIP, so there's a lot of research being done in the USA and Canada and also in New Zealand and what's Australasia. And the great thing is that in each of these areas, the research is replicated and we're seeing the same result again and again and again. Now, the thing with research, if you do one research study, that gives you some information. But the more research you do on it, the greater the evidence grows. And what we're seeing more and more is that this evidence is continuing to grow, is that this is improving those risk factors for heart disease and for strokes. The New Zealand Medical Journal has New Zealand Medical Journal, I think 2014 or 13 is when my dad put, and a few others, they kind of wrote a paper and a study on the results on CHIP in the New Zealand and Australasian context. So as you can see there, this is looking at results after 30 days of being on the CHIP program. And what they discovered is the BMI dropped by more than 3%. You know, systolic blood pressure improved, diastolic blood pressure went down, total cholesterol improved, you know, your LDL dropped, HDL, while we wanted to go up, if you drop your total cholesterol, the HDL is also going to go down. Triglycerides came down, and the fasting blood sugar levels also came down. So all of these things, this is what we see again and again, and I'll show you our small cohort that we did in Nelson later on. Now, the CHIP program is run by volunteers, and I feel that's important, because none of us have an agenda. None of us are getting any financial gain from running the CHIP program. This comes out of a passion to promote wellness in our community, and that's what drives this the running of the CHIP program. Our goal is to support and encourage. It's a non-judgmental space, and we have each small group has a table host. We have an admin team, so it's a group of people all working together with the same goal. But small group, as I mentioned, is where the magic happens. And what's really important for us in these small groups is that it's a safe place. It's a safe place where people are respected, where people are accepted as they are. It's a safe place where people are unconditionally loved, or unconditional positive regard, is that we respect every person who comes through. And because we try to, and we try as best to create that safe environment, we challenge as well, but we challenge with support. We encourage people whenever we educate. There's also questions that we engage with, and we look at those questions and we engage with them together. And then we help people set these things called SMART goals. Have you heard of SMART goals? Is that something familiar? Yeah, quite a few of you are nodding. So SMART goals are those things. They're specific, measurable, they're achievable, realistic, and time-based. And when people can learn how to do SMART goals, it can really transform their progress. You know, it gives you an opportunity then as well to go, if something hasn't worked, let's explore and see what are the barriers that have stopped it from happening. And so part of that, and which is a really great thing, is people learning how to engage positively with failure. Because I think we've all experienced failure, haven't we? And it doesn't feel great. But that's the reality of life, is we're going to fail from time to time. But the great thing is we can engage with it positively, and this is what we try to engender within those small groups. Another thing that we do that's a lot of fun is we have a mascot. And I want you to meet Basil. So Basil was the mascot for the last one. And each table, as they go away, they bring their steps that they've accumulated between sessions and they add them up. And the table that has the most average steps per person gets to take Basil home. And what's been great is Basil goes on many journeys, but he also gets adorned. So each group starts adding something different to Basil. And then at the end of, when we finish the course, we find the person who's improved the most. And they get to take Basil home. And Basil here, he's just got two things on him. You could barely recognize Basil at the end of this. He looked amazing. But that's something, that's a bit of fun that we have. But probably the greatest thing at the end of the CHIP program is we have this celebration. And the amazing thing about the celebration is that we've got people who've never eaten plant-based whole food in their life. And then they come and they put together a meal for all of us, for each other. And so with the celebration, we invite whānau, we invite friends, you know, bring them along. And they get to do all the cooking. And I guarantee you, I'm a connoisseur of delicious plant-based food in restaurants. You know, I love to see if there's a restaurant that's new, I like to try it. But they're not going to beat this. I guarantee you, it's such good stuff. And it's amazing just to see their journey and the confidence that they've gained by going through the CHIP program is really exciting to see. Once they finish CHIP, that's not where it ends for them either, is that we invite everyone back to the thing called Club CHIP. Now, last year was our first CHIP programs, and COVID put a challenge on a lot of our ability to do Club CHIP, and so we've just really started that again this year, is getting into Club CHIP, where we catch up every month. So everyone who's been through CHIP, we catch up at a venue, and we just catch up, and we just have a chat. How's it going? How can we support you? What's working? What isn't? Let's just have a chat about it. And this was our catch-up the other day. As far as our results that we had in Nelson, our first in both groups, we've had about 30 participants. And if you look at the results there, you know, in each group, total cholesterol has dropped. Now, there was a slight time delay between doing the test between the two groups. In CHIP 1, we did it at 4 weeks, and in CHIP 2, 6 weeks. So it looks like CHIP 2 did a lot better, but we actually checked those markers while they were further down on their journey. And as you can see, cholesterol's down. LDL cholesterol, which is what we call your bad cholesterol, was down. Triglycerides are down. What was amazing is the average weight loss in CHIP 2 was 7 kilograms. This was in 6 weeks. And this is not people restricting what they eat. What we tell them is get into the plants. Eat as much as you want. Go for it, because we know that they're low in calories, dense in nutrition and low in calories. So they'll fill them up, but not with the calories that they would have had from processed foods. Now, Nikki, as I mentioned, Nikki we met before, is that CHIP last year, in I think was February, was when she first entered CHIP. I gave a call the other day, and to date, she's lost 40 kilograms. 40 kilograms. She loves what she eats. She's enjoying being far more active. And the thing that she said to me, she said, I've got my life back. And I think that's the exciting thing for me with being involved with a program like CHIP, is just to journey with people. And every time you see them, you know, it's like we're whānau, it's like we're family now, because we've journeyed together. We've experienced some, you know, because it can be, there's some difficult times for them, and we journey together. And so we have those connections, and that's what's neat with catching up at Club Chip. Now, if any of you, or if you know of anyone who would be interested in a program like it, I know that Christchurch has had a few, they've run a few chips. I know there have been two or three this year already. I'm not aware of a chip starting the second half of the year, but if you're interested in chip online, that is an option as well. If you go to www.chiphealth.com.au, there is information there where you can register online. So the chip program, it's anywhere, it ranges somewhere between $299 up to $499, depending on what sort of funding is available. So it can be expensive, but if you think about what you get for that value, there is nothing else you'll get at that value. 18 sessions of working close with a group of people who are working towards that, it's really good value for money. It would be far more if we had to charge our time, but we try to keep the costs as low as possible. So most of those costs are dealing with the resources that you get. So you'll get like a textbook, a workbook, you also get a cookbook with that, but it also to do with some of the licensing, with some of the videos that are being displayed. It also deals with advertising and venue hire. But we try and keep those as low as we can. Our one in Christchurch, we're charging $299. There's blood tests. Yep, so some courses include part of that cost will be blood tests as well. And so, correct. So that's about $150 for those. And sometimes if you can work with health professionals, I guess that's been a benefit of being a health professional myself, is being able to work alongside my colleagues. We've been able to get some of those costs down. But yes, those. So probably you're looking somewhere between $299 to $499, roughly.
If people who have a whole food plant-based diet, how many more years of active longevity do they have? And what do they need now?
That's a really good question. I don't think I've got the answer to that. But look, what is really clear, you know, I remember an article that came out in the National Geographic in 2011. I don't know if any of you saw it, the longevity study. And what they identified populations around the world. And what they found was that there were certain populations, there were three in particular that were identified, that had the largest number of centenarians in the world. Not just centenarians, but centenarians who were well. And these groups were, I think one was the Okinawans in Japan, it was the Sardinians in the Mediterranean, and to their big surprise, it was the Adventist community in America, which was a bit of a shock. So look, as far as, it's quite complex, I guess if you start in your younger years eating a plant-based whole food diet all your life, that's going to have an advantage over someone who starts later on. But what we do know is the value that you get in those plants are huge. Whatever our health is, it's going to have a benefit.
Thank you for listening to the Lentil Intervention Podcast. If you found this interesting, make sure you subscribe and share it with your friends.